one, okay.
179.
Thank you.
If you want to see God's beauty, just look at all He's made. It's reflected in each flower and all of nature arrayed. The beauty of God is everywhere your eyes can see. But if you want to see the heart of God, just look at Calvary. If you want to see the heart of God, just look at Calvary. If you think that no one loves you, take a look at that old tree. Can you see the blood that flowed when Jesus died for you and me? If you want to see the heart of God, just look at Calvary. God's heart was truly opened when He gave His only Son, when He permitted Him to die for the sins of everyone. How He must have agonized as His Son died on that tree. His heart was surely pierced that day as He looked at Calvary. If you want to see the heart of God, just look at Calvary. If you think that no one loves you, take a look at that old tree. Can you see the blood that flowed when Jesus died for you and me? If you want to see the heart of God, just look at Calvary. Can you see the blood that flowed when Jesus died for you and me? If you want to see the heart of God, just look at Calvary.
Singers to prepare for the service, and he didn't let us down again. Every time I think about that song, I always think about John 3:16 and the most simple of verses in the Bible, and yet it's the most complex, because there's no way you and I tonight, or we've lived on this earth for 100 years, we'll never be able to understand all that goes in to get Calvary. Tonight, if you have your Bibles, turn first to Jeremiah chapter 10. We've got for a launching pad. We're going to Isaiah chapter 46. As we were singing at the cross, every time I hear that song, or every time we sing it, I read that verse. But even though it's such a sacred head, it's such a worm as I. I remember when my wife and I first went back to church, visiting a Baptist church. Invited me to come. And that's the first song they sang. And as I was reading the words, as people were singing, I saw that verse and I just laughed. Then laughed out loud, laughed inside. And I thought, what kind of song is this? Calling me a worm. You know, and I always thought that was funny until I got saved. And I understood a lot more about that word. But when I first heard it, I was like, well, a worm? Earthworms are good for preparing the soil for gardens and everything else, and they're good for fishing and all these other things. And some people anybody out here tonight, but worms are very, when I was in high school, we had biology class, and it seemed like every time we dissected a worm, it was just before lunch and it had spaghetti. So, I don't know why that was on purpose or what, but I can actually remember my high school days. It's almost hard to believe. But as I thought about that old word worm, and in the Bible it says that people do not go to hell. The worm dieth not. And I believe that worm is our conscience. Because in hell, people have a conscience just like they do in this life. And I can't think of anything worse than being in eternity in hell, remembering all the opportunities that Jesus gave to us to be saved. I saw a little thing in the paper the other day about these two ladies. They were neighbors, and they were bragging about the dog. I don't know if there's dog lovers here tonight, but I love dogs and understand this all together too well. But they were talking about their dogs, and one lady had finished her little soliloquy, and the other lady said, "Well, that's all well and good, but we have a dog that is the most unusual dog I've ever seen. Every morning, he gets up and goes outside, and he goes for a little while, and comes back and brings the morning paper with him." The other lady said, "Well, there's nothing special about that. So my dogs go and pick up the morning paper." She said, "Yes, but we don't have a subscription." So that's pretty smart dog. Also, I saw another one about this fellow had a dog. The neighbor asked him where the dog was, and he said, he's going to Virginia Tech. He said, "What's that dog doing to Virginia Tech?" He said, "He's learning languages." He said, "You got to be kidding me." He said, "No, he's going to Virginia Tech to learn languages." He said, "He'll be in this weekend, I'll prove it to you." Well, that weekend was there, and the dog was home, and the neighbor come over, and he said, "Is this a smart dog you got that's learning languages?" He said, "Yes, sir." He said, "He's already learned a brand new one." He said, "Prove it to me." He said, "Okay, Alfred, speak your new language." The dog looked at him and said, "Meow." Hopefully they teach more than that at Virginia Tech. I know they do. But anyway. In Jeremiah chapter 10, as we were looking at the heart of God with the cross, I want to speak tonight on God. I am God. And there's a couple little phrases here, and we're going to read the first seven verses. And there's a little phrase mentioned twice that we'll use as a launching pad tonight. Jeremiah, writing to the nation of Israel, he said, "Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain. One cutteth the tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen, with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers that move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil. Neither also is it in them to do good. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, those are great. Thou art great, and thy name is great and mighty. Who would not fear thee, O King of nations, for to thee doth it appertain? For as much as among all the wise men of the nations and all their kingdoms, there is none like unto thee." Now, Heavenly Father, tonight again we call upon the Spirit of God to speak to our hearts, that we may study your word, we may grow in wisdom and grow in grace. Speak to us now that we may be encouraged and strengthened. Bless your people, bless your word. That's all that goes forth here tonight. We use it for your glory. Again, we ask it in the name of Jesus, our Savior, as we pray for peace and fruitful. Amen. Turn with me now to Isaiah chapter 46. That was just a little launching pad there to get a little phrase in our head or our mind that there is none like unto thee. And in Isaiah chapter 46, we're going to have the Lord's come near and hear the word of God and be reconciled unto Him. And Isaiah was the prophet that God called to bring the message to the people. The words we just read a few moments ago, I'm sure you all know or heard that there are some denominations and churches today that use those verses to say that you can't have a Christmas tree in church. And they go to those verses and they try to make a heathen worship if you do. But that's not anywhere near the truth, because the Christmas tree is not the tree of Jeremiah chapter 10. What they're talking about in Jeremiah chapter 10 is the trees that were used for idol worship. The trees were made idols because they said they planted to put that tree in a certain place and wouldn't move. They decked it with silver and gold. And we're going to get confirmation of that from Isaiah, because Isaiah is the first one to speak of it. Jeremiah was just given the confirmation to Isaiah. But in Isaiah 46, we'll begin reading in verse 5. This is God speaking to the nation, speaking to us tonight as well, and to all the world. To whom will you liken me, and make me equal, and compare me, that we may be like? They lavish gold out of the bag, and weigh silver in the balance. Hire a silversmith, and he maketh it a god. They fall down, yea, they worship. They bear him upon the shoulder, they carry him, and set him in his place, and he standeth. From his place shall he not remove. Yea, one shall cry unto him, yet can he not answer, nor save him out of his trouble. Remember this, and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O you transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. God is saying to you and I tonight, and to the world, there is none like me. He tells us that men would rather worship the trees and other things. We see that today with the different Greenpeace organizations. Different groups that are trying to keep us from mining our natural resources or drilling for oil in different places because they don't want to destroy Mother Earth, Mother Nature. And I just say fully on those people, because there's no such thing as Mother Earth or Mother Nature. It's nature, because God put a nature into all living creatures, including the earth. He made the earth a living planet. The ground gives forth its fruit, and of course we survive through that. We put Adam and Eve in the perfect place called Garden of Eden, and began the oldest profession in the world. And it's not what people think it is either. The oldest profession in the world is farming. Adam and Eve were told to tend the garden. When you tend the garden, you're farming. If it's two little tomato plants and a little pot on the porch, that's farming. And so God said it was good that man worked. There's nothing to be ashamed of to be a farmer. I remember when I was a kid growing up from North Carolina town, right down the road, Stoneville. Our major crop was tobacco, and everybody had to, plant their own garden and stuff. And we lived outside town, and the people lived inside the town, they called us farmers. It's like there was a plague on us or something. There come those farmers. The farmers had to ride the bus and everybody else walked to school because they lived close by. But back then it was a lot different than it is today. The farmers today, they grow crops so they can make the ethanol out of it and all the other stuff, run our cars instead of our stomachs. catch up to us one day because of what's going to take place in the world. But Isaiah, through God, is warning the people not to put their faith and trust into things, whether it be material things, whether it be things of the ground, of the earth. You know, man will worship just about anything. People worship rock stars, and they worship athletes, and all the other things. And I guess if you're not saved, that's all well and good. It's always good to have heroes, you know. When you're a kid growing up, I tell people all the time, I'm thankful I grew up when I did, because I don't see any Roy Rogers running around today with kids to look up to. You know, we looked up to even the Lone Ranger, you know, he always wore, when we saw a Western, the guy wore the white hat, he was a good guy, and the bad guy always wore a black hat, so you could tell the difference. Nowadays, you can't tell the difference, because what used to be good is now bad, and what used to be bad is now good, and so it's a hodgepodge of all of creation comes to fruition right here and before our eyes. And I was telling a couple of people at church Sunday afternoon, we were watching some of the younger kids going, and I said, the other ones, I feel sorry for. I looked at Caleb over here, and I feel sorry for him because he's not going to have the opportunity to grow up in the world like I did. Because the world I grew up in is nothing compared to the world as it is today. Some of you are older as I am, you're close to my age, you understand what I'm talking about. And those who are coming along, it's not like it was 10 years ago. I mean, how many people 10 years ago would have thought you'd have to legislate a law to determine what constitutes a marriage? That's the first thing God did, the Garden of Eden. The first institution was a man and a woman became a husband and a wife. And then the farming came along, and then the raising of the children, and boy, we took a wrong turn somewhere. I was watching the weather tonight, and the weatherman was talking about, well, Mother Nature's going to bring us some rain. And I said, well, if you're depending on Mother Nature to bring you some rain, you're going to be hurting because it's not Mother Nature. I even wrote to Robin Reed when I wrote a letter to him, trying to explain to him the difference between Mother Nature and God the Father. And he wrote a nice little letter back and said, thanks to Noah. Because he had a few trees and I didn't. That's all right. Even the Bible gives, even you and I, some signs we can know what's going to take place. You know, dead sky at night, sailor's delight, dead sky in the morning, sailor's warning, tell when it's going to rain, and different things. Every time I see a weather report, especially in the wintertime, they always say, well, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. I just look out the window. And if it's out there, it's out there. It's not. But just because they have all these degrees doesn't mean they know very much. In fact, I think the more degrees they have, the less they know. I remember Lester Roloff one time said a man can have every degree from every college and university in the country, put it on his wall and have something to talk about, but he doesn't know Jesus. All he is a smart idiot. And I agree with that 100%. And so God is telling Isaiah here some things to warn people about, that I'm God. I am He. There's none like me. In fact, in verse 5, he says, that we may be like. He said, who's going to say that anything is like me? And that word like there in the Hebrew, it means exactly the same. That's where the rub comes in. You can't compare God with anything because there's none like Him. Only Jesus could say, my Father and I are the same, which meant in Greek, the same one, because He is God. I had a man come up to my door just the other day, knocked on the door, and I answered the door for him. He was telling me to hand out a flyer. He said, we're having a meeting at our church, and end time. And he said, we're going to talk about what's going on in the world and what's going to happen. And I said, well, don't take a rocket scientist to figure out that there's a lot going on. And he said, well, we've got the answer. I said, that's good. I said, what church?
you come from?
He said, Jehovah's Witnesses. I said, well, how do you do? He came to the wrong place. So I said, well, you can just keep your brochure. I'm not interested in anything you teach. I said, you just might as well go to Hemingway somewhere else. He said, wait a minute. He says, why? I said, well, you and I just don't see eye to eye. And he says, where do you go to church? I said, well, I go to the Bible Baptist Church. That doesn't make any difference what the name of the church is. It's what you believe. And he said, well, we believe in Jesus Christ. I said, that's right. I do too. So I asked him, I said, who is Jesus? And of course, they can only say one thing. He's the Son of God. And he's not a different explain that the Son of God is God. He did kind of thing. Well, this particular fellow, apparently, you know, he used to come out in twos. But this fellow, he was by himself. And so when he started giving me a scripture, I gave him one back. And he said, well, we have the same Bible. He said, my Bible is the same as yours. I said, it is. And I said, let's look. I said, read me John 1:1 in your Bible. And he said, in the beginning was the Word, the Word was God, and the Word was God. I said, do you think that's the same as my King James? He said, of course. And I said, well, read what my Bible says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. He said, well, that's just one little letter difference. I said, that one little letter makes all the difference in the world. He said, that one little word you added in your scriptures changes God and Jesus. And so he got to thinking about that. He said, wait, this must be a misprint or something. I said, it's not a misprint. I said, just keep on going through your Bible. We'll compare some scriptures here. Well, he got to the point where he kept calling himself Jehovah. He said, show me Jehovah in the New Testament. He said, well, it's not in there, but it's implied. I said, that's because it's not in there. In the New Testament, Jehovah is always L-O-R-D, capital letters, because it's taken from the Greek. He said, well, my Bible comes from the Greek. I said, yes, but show me where in the Greek is the name Jehovah. It's not in there. A couple other things I got him turned around on. I thought I was going to get him saved while he was standing there. But finally, his senses came back to him. He said, now, wait a minute. He says, you know a little bit more than I do. So he said, I'm going to go get my pastor and I'll bring him back over here. I said, please do. Go get him. That was last Thursday. He ain't showed up yet. I think what happens is, you know, if you give them the light of God's Word, God can deal with it. All he had to do was compare my version of the Bible with his, and somebody's version is wrong. And when he saw John 1:1 in his Bible, and I showed him the King James Version, I could see the light bulb go on in his head. And I hope he went back to his pastor and wanted to know why that little letter A was. And I said, that changes everything. And just like these new translations try to change the Virgin Mary into a young maiden or a young lady. There's a big difference between a young woman, a young lady, and a young maid with a young virgin. There's too much difference there. And so what Isaiah was going through was some of the same situation, that people had gotten into idolatry. In fact, of course, you know that Isaiah was trying to warn them of the judgment of God to come and will be taken into captivity in Babylon. The nation had gotten away from God. And certainly our nation has certainly drifted way, way from God. If we didn't have anything in the Bible but Genesis chapter 1, that would be more than enough to save everybody in the world. Because the first thing that God did was he put the firmament in place, he put the earth in place, he put everything here, and just told us to look up. And if a person will just go out and look up, especially in the evening, a nice clear night, and see all those stars and the moon and all the things of the night, and you come back in the morning and see the sunrise and hear the birds sing, they have to start imagining, where does all this come from? And that's the first witness that God put on the earth. He said, let there be light. That's the first thing that God did, was created light. telling you and I the same thing tonight, that we got to remember that there's none like God. God is unique in that He's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all rolled into one. A complex mystery that nobody can understand. You can't explain it, I can't either. But I'm glad that the Bible never anywhere tells us that we have to be able to explain anything. We don't even have to understand. All we have to do is believe. And when you believe, then all of a sudden you begin to understand. Because the Spirit of God opens up the Word of God and starts to teach us. And just from these few little verses, we can look at how the Spirit of God will speak to our hearts. He says, I am God. And in verse 9, he has, it says, to remember some things. That little word remembers in the Bible a lot. And it's good that we're able to remember, because that's one of God's gifts to us, is to have a memory. I'm getting to the age where I can't remember yesterday, but I can remember 30 years ago just like it was yesterday. I can meet somebody and they'll tell me their name, and 10 minutes later I'll say, who? It's just, my brain just doesn't work like it used to. Of course, they say that man only uses about half his brain anyway. And my wife tells me that's why I'm half of it. But, it's just part of human nature that God says, I want you to remember some things. So not just remember for a few moments some things. Remember the creation. Now the creation wouldn't any of us be here. God put everything in motion and He did that for His glory. Have a commercial that runs on TV. This guy's out in the woods and he's settling down against this tree. And it's getting nightfall, and he's trying to get the shut eye. All of a sudden, he hears a cricket. So he gets up and he goes over to his Dodge truck and opens up that fan thing. He's going to get out of the bow and arrow and shoots that cricket. Good. Then he goes back and gets comfortable again. Closes his eyes and fog starts to cook. Of course, his eyes pop open. That's where the commercial ends. But God put that cricket there for a reason. And the frogs and all the other creatures. Never a cricket, or a frog, that just praise to God. Old mosquito buzzing around the head. What do you want to do? You want to kill that sucker? He's just giving praise to God. He wants to bite you because he's a bloodsucker. But that's not his fault. That was Adam's fault. See, before Adam sinned, everything in God's universe got along together. I just can't imagine how it's going to be like when all that comes back together. But it's going to happen. And God reforms the earth and everything. Everything's going to be like it was when you're going to leave. You won't have to worry about the cobra biting you or the lion eating you or whatever else. All going to be back like it was. But God put all this creation together for purpose. Because He knew, like He said here, I know the ancient times from the beginning. I know the end from the beginning because I'm God. And He put all that together for His glory, but He knew that one day man was going to sin and fall, and He was going to use nature as a part of the way to bring man back to Him. Of course, nowadays we worship nature, so that's where gone wrong. Romans chapter 1 is in the Bible for a reason. And if you need to see what's going on in the world today, read Romans chapter 1, it'll tell you exactly what happened. And man's fall and how he worships all the creepy crawly things and the other things that he holds deity to. But God says the creation. Remember creation. Remember man. I created man. It's unlike me. Who can create man? I get sick of sometimes some of these doctors on these little programs and talk about fertility and a couple of women that have babies and all this stuff. They think they've done something. They haven't done anything. It's God who creates the life. It's God who gives life. And so he says, look at man. Go a little bit far. He says, remember the ark. old Noah, you and I wouldn't be here tonight. Of all the people in the world, God could only find Noah. God, in His wisdom and grace, more found that grace in our time. He says to remember Abraham. Abraham came out of the land of Ur of the Chaldees, which is present day Iraq, in that area. So he was a not a Hebrew. He was a Chaldean. We call him today. He was of the Arab nation. But what did God do with Abraham? He changed Abraham's DNA. And out of the loins of Abraham came the nation of Israel. God says, let me see you try to do that. You know, we got all kind of clonings and all kind of things they're trying to do to change the DNA. God's the only one who can do that. And so Abraham was a Chaldean. He was an Arab. But I made him a Jew. Changed the DNA. Now we have the nation of Israel. He said, remember Egypt and how the people have been in bondage for 400 years that I raised up Moses. Moses, who was born a Hebrew, raised an Egyptian, and yet led the Hebrew nation out of Egypt. I gave you the Ten Commandments. Fighting today, still, in Virginia, over can you put the Ten Commandments in service? And one of the ACLU's reasonings for wanting to take down the Ten Commandments is they're afraid that students would actually read them and try to act like half them. You know, what's wrong with honoring the mother and father? What's wrong with thou shalt not kill or thou shalt not steal? What's wrong with all that? I know in my day what was wrong with it. You broke one of those rules. You didn't sit down for a while. Where was the ACLU then when I could claim child abuse? We had one rule in my house. You go to school, you get a whipping, you don't get a whipping, you get on. And they called the teacher. My dad was a truck driver. Well, he wasn't home a lot, so when Mama got me, when he got home, I got it from him too. I didn't get it that many times because I learned the lessons. But what's wrong with it? Thou shalt not tell lies and steal and all the other things. See, that's because good is now bad and bad is now good. He says, remember David, little shepherd boy that I called out of the fields to slay an old giant and lead a nation to victories. How about his son Solomon? He was able to build me a temple. That site is still causing trouble to this very day. I don't care if there's a dome of a rock sitting there. When God gets ready to build his temple again, that dome is going to be gone. Out from the eastern gate to the cemetery. Muslims put that cemetery there because people in the Middle East are superstitious and they will not cross where dead people are. They think that's going to keep Jesus from coming through the eastern gate. He's going to raise the dead. He's going to walk into a graveyard and raise them up. He says, remember Babylon. Remember what, how people suffered in Babylon, how it broke them out. Remember Bethlehem. Bethlehem is an interesting place. Bethlehem means house of bread. One of the most famous residents of Bethlehem was David. David's well is still in Bethlehem. Also, it's the home of Jesus Christ. He was born there as well. He was born in the stable there. Think about all the miracles God says. Too many miracles. Too many of them to talk about. There's a lot of miracles in the Bible. There's still miracles taking place every day in our lives. And every time a person gets saved, that's a miracle. But only God can do it. God says to remember the cross. Without that cross and without that resurrection, where would we be tonight? None. And we're here tonight because of the cross and the resurrection and Jesus Christ. He says, remember coming again and eternity. The same respond quicker than they do. It's going to happen. God says, remember, I'm coming back. We had in the paper, remember, the preacher that said the world was going to end that Saturday at 6 o'clock. And now he's came out with a few dates. He had a stroke the other day. See, God's trying to do his thing. He said, you can't play God. You can't pretend to be God and know the time and the hour, because God says, no man. God's giving his attention to you. You just can't make foolish statements like that and try to pretend you're God. He said, I'm coming again, and we'll be again throughout all eternity. In verse number 10, the last part, he says, my counsel shall stand. My counsel here is simply the word of God. That's what that word counsel means. All the books and all the libraries and all the world are going to be gone one day. It's only going to be one book there. That's this old Bible we've got tonight. That's the only thing here on earth that will be in heaven. It's here now. When we get to heaven, God's going to open a bunch of books. We've got the book of life up there. He's going to move the names that are written there. All the names that are not found there will be cast in the lake of fire. Malachi says he's going to open up the books of remembrance. Those are the books I like. Because when Malachi says that whenever people come together and mention God's name, he hearkens. That word hearken is that old word megaphone. Remember in the old days, he used to put that horn up in the ear, it couldn't hear good. That's what it says about God. He puts that horn up and he bends an ear. And when he hears his name, he does something. He opens up the book of remembrance. He writes down all the names of all the people who are there. Every time you come to church, every time you gather with one or two people, maybe at work, and you talk about the Lord, their name is written in that book of remembrance. One day when we stand before him, he'll go through all the Wednesday night services, all the Sunday night, and Sunday morning, and by all the times that we've ever talked about him. And the Bible says that when he gets through, he's going to take all that's written there, make jewels out of it and put it in his crown. I think God's worth remembering tonight. You and I here tonight, we're going to be crowned with the jewels in his crown one day. Simply because we were faithful to the house of God. Simply by the fact that we're faithful to speak of his name. We love to hear his name. His name is above all other names, and he loves to hear it. He said, my counsel, my word shall stand for all eternity. He says, not only that, but I will have the last life. The last pleasure he will have. He'll have the last word. And lastly, in verse 11, in the last part of verse 11, he says, I have spoken it, I will also bring it back. I have purposed it, I will also bring it back. You know what that means? That simply means that God says, I've made promises. For every promise in the Word of God you've ever claimed, he says, I will. And somebody said there's 32,000 promises in the Bible. I'm not going to count them. I'm not going to dispute them. I can guarantee you one thing. There's not one in that you have to break. Because he said, my Word will stand forever. And what I promised in my Word, I will do. You're here tonight. You've been saved? Guess what? God promises you to be saved for all eternity. He gives us grace to hear the Word of God and be saved. And after we're saved, he gives us grace to live the Christian life. And then he promises dying grace. That moment when we are about to go into eternity, he's going to give us that dying grace. I remember flying from St. Louis to California, and a meeting out in California was going aboard. But he got over New Mexico and had a real bad storm. And lightning struck and knocked out one of the engines, because it was back in the So I just sat there and I just looked out the window and just had no problem. The pilot got the plane down and made emergency landing and they called off the plane. And the fellow sitting across the aisle from him, he said, "Mr. Dupree, I thought I was going to lose it up there." And he said, "I kept looking at you and there was no worry in your face." He said, "How did you know we were going to get down safe?" "Because I've got a promise from my God." He said, "What promise is that?" "But Dr. Hudson told me about the promise of grace." He said, "My Lord gave me grace to believe the Word of God and be saved. He gave me grace to walk this life as a Christian. And he promised to give me dying grace that I didn't have." He said, "I was scared on the inside. But God didn't give me that peaceful grace to know that we're going to die. Because I knew we were going to land safe." That's how it works. God gave him that peace that passes all understanding. He said that fellow, before they got to eternity, went down on his knees and asked you. All because one person on that planet didn't have the time grace and believe that thing for the Almighty. That's the promise that God has made to us. If he did it in this word of mine, he said, "There is none." Thank you for this time we have to come together to open the Word and to share a time of fellowship together, studying the Word of God and having a time together one another. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity that you've given to us and the many blessings that you bestowed upon us. We ask now that you might give us something from the Word that's gone forth tonight that we may grow in the wisdom and grace of God. We may not be ashamed to call upon you and share your name with all the unsaved in this world. That you might stand as a beacon in the night that people will see something different about our lives. And you can say it's all because of the young life of God. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus. Thank you for salvation for you. Bless this church. Because you people here tonight. Go man, if you are in the church again. Yes, our people need to bless the work that's being done here. And all that is done is your glory. Again, we ask you in the name of Jesus. We pray that Jesus will be here. Amen. Thank you.